Hi, this is the Golden Thread Conversations, and I'm your host, Judy Murdoch. Today, my guest is Sabrina Picario. Sabrina Picario is a multi-award-winning actress and producer known for Julia, Belief, Open Mic, Mojave Shadows, and many others. She is now the producer and lead actress in the upcoming feature film, Living the Dream, and producer for the upcoming feature film, Happy. Born in Sao Paulo, Brazil, with an Italian citizenship, her purpose is to touch people's hearts, inspire them, and spread a good, positive message through her characters and films she produces. So welcome, Sabrina.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. It's such an honor.
Oh, my pleasure. One of the things I was curious about was initially you began your career in biomedicine and with a focus in Chinese medicine. And I thought that was really cool. And I'm curious, you know, acting and producing seems so different. So I'm curious, what led you on this very different path?
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. You know, my parents, they always encouraged me to pursue my dreams. But of course, when I was a teenager, I wanted to do acting. My mom said, you know, honey, you better have a job. You have, you know, have your financials in ready. So of course, we don't have only one passion in our lives. Mm-hmm. So biomedicine was something that I was always curious. My older brother is a biomedic, so that's why I was introduced to this career. And I'm very nurturing. I love to take care of people. And so I spent 10 years of my life working with Chinese traditional medicine. And there was a moment in my life where I used to do workshop for 200 people, 300 people, and I was very shy.
Wow.
I didn't have stage presence. I was terrible. So that's how acting was introduced into my life in 2010. A good friend of mine, he told me, Sabrina, why don't you do acting, you know, to have more stage presence, to be able to communicate well. And I did, and I just fell in love. I'm like,
oh, cool.
What? I need to do this. And the reason is just because when you're studying a character, you put yourself in their place. Mm-hmm. And you understand why that person behaves the way they do. So if you apply that mm-hmm. to life, you become more compassion. You automatically put yourself in someone else's shoes, and you understand why people act the way they do. You learn more about yourself. So for me, acting initially was just self-learning. It was therapeutic. It was a self-learning process about who I was, what do I need, and I could channel all my frustrations and angers and passions and love through those characters.
Wow. I mean, that sounds really good.
Yeah. But I wasn't planning to work in this industry. So back in Brazil, I was very curious about acting. I did theater, most likely all in Brazil, I did theater. I became a drama teacher for kids from 6 years old till 16. And you learn so much from kids, you know, they teach you how to be spontaneous, how to be present, how to take everything, you know, we take so much of everything so serious, you know, take it easy in life. So I was just, I realized that this crafty was taking a bigger space out of my life up until the moment where in 2013, I had two jobs. I had an office as an acupuncturist. I was a drama teacher, and I was able to see both professions. They kind of merged. In a way that me as an acupuncturist, I was able to use all the creativity in the session. So I put some music, temperature, you know, all the creativity was there. And the other way was also true with the kids. As a drama teacher, I was able to use my ability as an acupuncturist to read the nonverbal language, to observe if a kid wasn't feeling well and communicate better. So I felt like it was a very good merging from both professions. And I think like the turning point of my life, the reason that I merged to acting for film was I was always interested about the subtext. I always liked the nonverbal language, what is between the dialogues. And on stage is something that it's very hard to come across. You know, it's always like the director. Yeah, the director, they always like, Sabrina, speak louder and bigger gestures. And I wanted to bring the subtlety.
Right. Yeah.
So acting for a film was where I found my place. I'm like, that's it. Then I can be myself. The camera can capture everything. I can be subtle. People can read my subtext. And in 2013, I went to New York to do a summer program. I went to the Barrow Group, very nice school. I did acting for film, I fell in love. And when I went back to Brazil, I did an audition for New York Film Academy, and that's where I got a scholarship.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Is this where like you didn't have a reel and so you produced your own?
No, I think like I'm the reason, like if I was able to be where I am today, to get a visa as an artist and everything, anyone can get it. And the reason I say that is to encourage anyone who had zero background in the film industry. Because when I got here in 2014, like I said, the majority of my experience was in theater, not in films. Mm-hmm. I had zero background. So when I got here, I did an MFA, a master's program in acting for film. I think what the difference was, I wanted to have the holistic experience. So not only an experience as an actress, but also behind the camera. What entails to make a movie. So I was able to go into all those departments as a script supervisor, as a first assistant director, as a production designer. I was able to understand the holistic vision that helped me as an actress. I was more consistent with my actions. That helps with continuity. I was more patient because I knew what was happening behind the camera, you know, between takes, you need to set up some lightings. So I was way more I respected everyone because I was in their shoes. So the difference when I graduated in 2016, you know, I was able to work for a year in the film industry. And this program, I'm so grateful for New York Film Academy. They were able to prepare myself. I had a headshot, I had a resume, I had a reel, a voiceover reel. So I thought I was ready for the industry, right? So 2016. Had all the material ready to try it out, the industry. And I heard so many no's. And you know, like doing auditions.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that I realized that the only person who can say no to me is myself.
Oh, cool.
And I was so eager. I was so hungry to work in the film industry that I said, you know what, if I want to do what I love, I'm going to start creating my own opportunities. So that's how the producer came up. Like I was wearing the producer hat. And because I had this amazing network during my MFA program, I just reached out to my friends and I say, hey, I have an idea. Hey, cinematographer, you want to work, and a screenwriter. This is a teamwork. You don't do things by yourself. So I was reaching out to people who were just like me, hungry to do films. And then that year, I worked in multiple films as a producer. Of course, most of the films that I produced, I was also the lead actress because I was creating for myself. I was casting myself. That was the goal.
Yeah.
And I did, I think the film that opened doors for me was Julia. Mm-hmm. Julia is a short film in tribute to my mom. She passed away in 2014. Mm-hmm. And she knew I was coming to LA. I remember our last conversation. I told mom, I've got a scholarship. I have everything ready to, you know, go to LA. But, you know, any advice? And she told me, honey, I've seen it. You're going to make it.
Oh, wow.
And that was the last conversation we had. To pass, like in 4 days, really quick. But she gave me her blessing. And she believed in me before I believed in myself. Mm. That was my encouragement to pursue this. And my dad at that time, I told dad, I don't want to leave you, you know, like just to pursue a dream. Mm-hmm. He told me, honey, I've lived my life. Go live yours. I'm fine. Your brother is here. Your sister is here.
Oh, wow.
So I came in peace knowing that I had that encouragement.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of people that, you know, they don't have the parent support, but what I tell them is believe in yourself. You know, that's most important. You got to believe in yourself. So I did Julia, and for my surprise, I got some awards, like best short film, best producer, best actress, and that opened some other doors, and then people start casting me and hiring me as a producer. So I was able to apply for an O-1 visa, which is an artist visa. Mm-hmm. But I asked myself, why do I want to do, you know, what I'm doing? Why do I want to be an actress producer? I'm compromising a lot. My family is in Brazil. It's a lot of money with this visa and stuff. And I think it was an important break where I was really digging the why. Mm-hmm. So I realized that, you know, this craft, we go into people's home. You see Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, you see all those platforms, and we literally go into people's homes. And there is a huge responsibility to what we create. Mm-hmm. So I thought that, you know what, I want to be this kind of filmmaker that create a content, either as an actress, either as a producer. I want to be part of films that really has a message, that bring awareness, that create, you know, that shake people's up, that make them think about life. And I don't want to do political films. I just want them to really open their eyes into maybe for a few minutes or hours, to be in our shoes and to understand what is life and what is that situation. So once that was clear to me, my why, I got my visa, and in 2018, 100% of all the films were connected to that why. Mm-hmm. I was a lead actress in the film, Mojave Shadows, that we were talking about suicide. Mm. I was a producer in a film, Open Mic, the one that David Field, I'm very grateful, David Field, for the introduction, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So David asked me to produce his film, Open Mic, and we are talking about pursuing your dreams, overcoming your fears. I also produced another film that we were talking about, guns regulation, racism. That one is Belief. Mm-hmm. So all inspiring stories. And now I have a business partner, Raja Deka, and he shared the same vision. And then initially he was a friend, and then I said, you know what, let's join forces. Let's merge both production companies, and together we can inspire, we can touch more people. We can touch their hearts. So now we have Touch Alive Productions, because we want to touch people's hearts. And now it's a joy. We are working on Happy, a feature film inspired by his life. There is a feature film, Living the Dream, that it's inspired by my life. Actually, multiple lives, but my heart is in that film. And we have another streaming series. We have other feature films in pre-development. They are in script development. But we have this amazing team under our sleeves. And then we have all those inspiring stories ready to go. We are pitching to investors. And I'm like, that's it. You know, that's why we're doing this.
Wow. That's great. There were a few things that I heard, like some, like when I talk about the golden thread, for example, the golden thread for me is what you talked about. So it is following what your heart's promptings, I guess, would be one way to say it, where you feel like you're really being led and where you're, what is most alive for you. Interestingly, you talked a lot about healing, and it seems like you're still doing that as an actress and producer, you know, by bringing these stories to people, because as you know, storytelling is healing.
Yeah.
You know? It's a communal healing. Yeah. And, just like looking at the notes I wrote here, you talk a lot about empathy.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of empathy. And you also talk a lot about inspiration. So not just, you know, touching people's hearts, but leaving them in a place where, you know, maybe they're just a little bit better after they've seen your film or seen you.
Absolutely.
And I really like that.
I want to help people to remind them that we are all light. I want them to tap into their own light. I want them to, you know, get out of your comfortable zone. Get out of your bubble. Wake up, because I was myself so many years in this coma, like a metaphor coma, where I was like literally a zombie. I wasn't living my life. Someone was living for me. Maybe the media, maybe, you know, they conduct the way we think. And then I was like, wait, who is in charge? Mm-hmm. So I got that shake, you know, someone shake me up and say, wake up, and then go to life and take a leap of faith. So when I came to America in 2014, I left my comfortable life. I left that routine to this unknown. I didn't know anyone, but you know what? I encourage everyone to try to do that. It's so inspiring. You learn so much about yourself. I didn't know I had all those potentials. Mm-hmm. I could be a producer, I could be an actress, because I was so accommodated. Of course, I am very grateful for my life and for the opportunity I was able to provide to offer tools to help them. And it's still my passion. I still love acupuncture, but I wasn't exploring, you know, other potentials. And he's speaking another language. That is also something else, because that makes, it puts you in a different mode where, mm-hmm. you know, I was doing a reflection mm-hmm. about how English is so practical, direct.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
And it kind of fits my personality. Mm-hmm. You know, I am very practical. I mean, I like you. Let's work again. Here's my card, period. I'm very practical. And I was able to kind of like find myself in this new, especially, you know, English is my second language and I still make so many mistakes. But now I laugh about it. Now I embrace it. And I remember I was trying to get an agent and he told me, oh, you want to be an actress here in this industry, but you have an accent. You're not going to make it. And I told him, well, thank you for your time first. But second of all, like, this is who I am. This is a quality. This is not a necessarily a problem, but this is what makes me unique.
Right.
And a good friend of mine, Raja, my business partner, his parents told him, and I use that as a model for me. His parents told him, honey, there is only one like you in this world. Mm-hmm. So when you go for an audition, you're not competing. You know, people say, oh, it's such a competitive industry. It's so tough. No, I have that kind of mindset that if that role is for me, it's kind of, yeah, of course, I'm going to put my heart in my audition. But I realized that there is only one Sabrina. with this accent, with this quality, with this energy. Mm-hmm. So that makes me more confident about my craft.
That's really cool. David said something similar, actually. He was talking about how when he auditions, or, you know, he's doing a role, it's really important for him to still sort of bring his essential self into it, rather than trying to, like, sort of like negating everything about himself, you know, kind of like wiping the slate blank in order to become a character. It's more about sort of a merger between your essential self, but you're also stepping into the skin of another person. And I thought that was like a really great explanation.
Yes. Yeah, he couldn't have said better. You bring yourself, and especially as a producer, when I'm producing a film, I'm also on the other side. I also play the role as the casting director when I'm casting the actors for my movies. And that also teaches me a lot as an actress, what not to do on an audition, because you see they don't bring their headshots, or they are not off book. You learn a lot about the protocols and what to do and what not to do. But also, you realize that sometimes you don't get cast, not because you're not good, because of availability, or because the way you look, maybe they need someone red hair, not blonde hair, or whatever, you know?
Right.
So it has nothing to do with your talent. Mm-hmm. We didn't like you. That can be one of the reasons, but not all the reasons. So that also gave me the peace of mind to realize, you know what? A teacher, one of my mentors, he said, you know, audition is just an opportunity to act.
Yeah, that's a great way to hold it. You're right. Yes. That's a great
Whoever is seeing you, they're going to see you performing.
Right.
You're sharing your talent.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. It seems like a very positive, healthy way to hold it. Yeah. Because when I read that you're an actress and you're a producer and you're in Los Angeles, I have to say the thought that came to me was, I would feel pretty intimidated. And, you know, I have friends from a long time ago who went to the University of Southern California's film school. And these were all like massively talented people. And I have so much respect for them. And a lot of them were really nervous and scared. They were, I think the last time I was there, they were just about ready to graduate. And they all sounded, like they're about to like jump into really, really deep, cold water, and they're not sure if they're going to be able to swim or not.
Yeah.
And I can feel that, you know?
No, but see, I think of course, the major reason I became a producer was to create opportunities for myself so I could cast myself and act. But then I realized that it also suits my personality. I'm very organized. I love a spreadsheet. And, you know, I'm very, very, very organized. So, but I think like being a producer is someone who is in charge of bringing the team together. A lot of people, they don't know exactly what a producer,
That was one of the questions I was going to ask you, because, you know, there's like executive producers, right? Which, you know, sometimes it just seems like they're the money people, like they're the people that pull the resources together. But then there's like production people. And so, yes, so enlighten me, please.
Oh, yes. No, and I love to explain and to tie it up with the reason that I love to be a producer is because like the producer, he's the head. He's mm-hmm. the one who's going to hire the director. He's the one who's going to hire the cinematographer, the gaffer, the key grip, the PA, everyone, you know, in the
right.
team. He's mm-hmm. the one who gets the script and brings to life. Mm-hmm. He's the one who is going to find locations, get the permit, get the insurance, make sure everybody has the equipment in each department. It's like building this whole circus.
No, you're right. And, it's a good way to say it.
And it's almost like a dating app. I like to compare my prediction company as a dating app.
Is that
meaning
right?
Hmm. Because it's a mix and match of personality. Right. So let's say the director, he has a script and he hires me to produce his film. So now my goal is to find a match, a perfect match as a cinematographer. Like,
oh, okay.
I like to find personalities that will work well. And now my ability to, you know, the nonverbal language, my 10 years of Chinese traditional medicine is paying off now, because now I'm using my ability to read people. Mm. Because when I'm interviewing groups, right. when I'm asking them, why I want to be part of this film, I can tell if they're truly connected with the story or if they just wanted the picture.
That's really cool.
And then sometimes you can tap into egos. You find people that are talent. Mm. They love the story, but there is too much ego involved.
How would you, and I'm like okay, so like when you say ego, no, I'm really, really genuinely curious about this. So how does ego show up when you are talking to somebody?
Well, I observe if they are good listeners.
Okay.
I observe if they are open to, let's say if you have a production designer and they are self-centered on their own art.
Oh, okay.
How open they are to the director's vision.
Got it.
Because that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, so okay. Then it's going to be a conflict.
Right. Okay. That's cool. I've often been curious about how successful producers are able to, you know, you're creating a team for a temporary project basically. And
yeah,
ideally,
yeah.
you know, you want everything to, and I think having people that really work together beautifully where, you know, maybe they're strengths and weaknesses are complementary, or you know, whatever it is that you're looking for. I think that's, you know, magical. It's a really cool ability to have.
It is challenging. I'm not gonna lie to you. Sometimes, especially if you're working with someone for the first time, there is a moment of adjustment, and you're still building trust.
Yes,
like trust is the key. I think it's most important, because even if you have a talent crew and everybody, but if they don't trust each other, there right. is no flow.
Right.
You know?
That's
so
well said.
I try to tell people, whoever hires me, I'm like, okay, trust me that I'm bringing you the right crew, that I'm bringing people that are talented, that are cheering mm-hmm. for you, director, that want this film to succeed. Because when we are on production and we're going to have obstacles, hiccups and challenges, everybody's going to be rooting to solve that instead of pointing fingers, oh, who did this or whose fault is this? Mm-hmm. Our mindset will be, okay, how do we solve this?
That's really
and
cool.
And that is, yes, that
we
is
need,
the goal.
We need more leaders like you. Truly. No, really.
Thank you.
You know, this idea, what I'm hearing from you is this idea that you hold a vision. You know, you're holding a vision for the project, an intention, a vision, whatever you want to call it, but you have clarity over the results that you're looking for. And you're bringing people in the way you're sort of organizing people's energies is you're keeping their energies focused on the end result rather than problem solving. Would that be
Oh, accurate? Yeah. No, solution, you know, always focus on the solution.
Yeah. I'm totally with you.
You know, there's no time to sit down and cry, you know. Okay, this happens. How do we solve this?
Exactly.
Moving forward.
Right. No, that's I understand that. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to come from.
You live and you learn. Each project is such a life lesson for in a human way level, not only on a professional way, because you know, okay, maybe I won't work with this person again, or maybe now I'm going to bring them to my team. I had such a wonderful experience. And then you learn about equipment and you learn about documents and contracts. But on the human level, you learn about people because it's like, you know, depending on the film, you have 30 people involved, 40 people involved, or sometimes budget. Budget, it's always the challenge.
I was wondering about that too. That's, well, every time I watch a film, and there's always the making of piece, right? You know, they interview the director, lead actors, things like that. They usually, often the producer's there. And they always will tell you, like, or in the commentary, we had no budget. You know, they always say it like, we had no budget. And so we had to figure out, like, how we were going to do this. You know, how were we going to get this shot when, you know, we had no budget and a day to do it. And it always sounds, it's always said with, like, pride. Like, people telling you war stories about how, like, we had to be really ingenious. And this is what we did. And I'm so glad we had this guy because, you know, so I hear a lot of that.
So you know, like,
do you like that? Do you like those challenges of, you know, kind of being up against, I don't, you know, like, you know, not having quite having the resources you need and having to be really ingenious and resourceful to, you know, make it work.
Yeah. And see, my place is to find solutions, right? So, When I have this script, I bring a line producer because that's the job. The line producer will break down the script and he will tell me, Sabrina, this is how much this movie cost. So once the line producer creates the preliminary budget, then that's where I step in. And then my goal is to make sure I keep on the budget. So if the executive producer, who is the one putting the money, tells me this is how much I can spend, my job is to make sure that we don't go over that. So then it's like being a magician and juggle and trying to pull up some cards from my sleeve and try to find the best deal, the best package, equipment package, maybe I find a crew person who has their own gear that has already an insurance. So I save money with insurance. So it's all this puzzle and being, you know, pretty much a magician trying to cut costs, but yet still paying people their minimum wage. You don't want to underpay. Yeah. You don't want to have people working for free. And the magic, that's why people are so proud, like I did this with this budget, is because sometimes not having a budget can be a blessing because it puts you in a state of mind where you are finding solutions. Like, how can I tell this story? Let's say if I don't have 30 people for this background scene, maybe I can do an intimate scene and it still tell the story. So there are, so, and that's the part of the director. Right. That's the part of the creative people, the DPs, that they're going to come up with solutions that it will accommodate the budget.
Right.
There was an interview from Martin Scorsese was interviewing Spielberg. Mm-hmm. And then he said, so why did you do the scene this way? And then he said, we didn't have budget, so we have to adapt. And I love that. If Spielberg had problems with budget, can have it.
And those are two wonderful storytellers.
But you just focus on the solution. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, I admire them so much.
I wanted to ask you too about the money thing because that piece in particular seems very intimidating to me because when I was talking with David, I think he said something like the very least expensive film, we're talking $2 to $3 million. And that's just, to me, an unbelievable amount of money. And so I'm curious, how do you navigate that? Filmmaking is expensive. You know, it's a really expensive way to tell a story. And I was really curious, how do you navigate that? Because you bring a lot of grace to your work. And I'm just like kind of curious, how do you do that?
So I was very blessed to, like, the majority of the films that I was involved as a producer, we already had an executive producer who had the money.
Okay.
So I didn't have to play the role of pitching, finding investors, all that jazz. Mm-hmm. But now I'm on this position right now as, you know, with my business partner, Rajadek, and I, we have two feature films that we have the pitch deck ready to go. The script is the final draft. They are all beautiful. Mm-hmm. So now we are kind of like stepping to the role of the executive producers, trying to bring investors to the project. And I tell you, it can be a little bit intimidating. It can be a little bit challenging. It's a new territory, I'll be honest with you. Like, there's mm-hmm. some protocols or things that you should do or should not do, which I'm learning by doing.
Right.
There are alternatives. You can hire someone to be the sales agent. Mm-hmm. Right. So you can have someone to pitch the project for you. If you have the, you know, money out of your pocket, and then you pay someone, and that person will bring the money for you. But if that's not the case, if you're the one, you know, you can reach out to your own contact, your own, you know, the people you know, or mm-hmm. you can do crowdfunding. Those are alternatives. But one thing I like to keep in mind is, and I tell Raja a lot, like whenever we are pitching a project to a potential investor, we are not asking for money or beg them to give money to us. We are actually choosing who is going to pair up with us, who is going to team up, mm-hmm. because it's going to be a relationship for maybe a year or so while the film is being made and post-production and all the yada yada. So you want to make sure you choose someone from the investors. You want to bring someone who really, it's going to be a good connection. It's going to really be here for you.
You want an angel investor.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, seriously, that's, you know, I come out of the tech world, and sometimes you have angel investors who really believe in what you're doing, and they're, you know, they're very supportive. And then you have people who are just sort of like, it's a transactional business arrangement. And if the returns aren't coming in, they cut the cord.
Oh yeah, exactly. So you want to bring someone who is as passionate as you are.
That's really cool. I don't know, for some reason, I just did not make that connection. That your investors are as interested in what you're doing as you are. They're not just looking for a quick return.
Yeah,
that's really
cool. No, we are blessed. We have really potential investors who are on our side, on our team, cheering for us, rooting for us, and that is a blessing. I think like we automatically attract that as well, because what we're doing is so bigger than us. Mm-hmm. You know. And we also want to, you know, in the near future, God bless, like as soon as we have those features on screen, and we're going to have distribution, and our goal is to return to people, you know, to help building clinics and help with education and health. We want to revert to create a cycle where we create content to help people, to inspire them. And then whatever profit, whatever, everything that we make, like we're going to get a percentage and go back to them. And that is our this is the biggest vision. That is like the mothership that we're trying to accomplish. And we are very passionate and optimistic.
I really love your vision, and I love the way that you, you and your co-producer look at what you're doing. It just seems like your focus is very much on giving. Sometimes I use the phrase win-win, which I don't feel like that quite does justice. There's also like what's known as a B corporation, where, mm-hmm. you know, the focus is on making a profit, but it's also on enriching your various communities and stakeholders. And I love that vision. I would very much like to see our capitalistic business model being, you know, like sometimes people say, well, you know, you got to make a profit. And, you know, I think like, yeah, you do have to make a profit, but like, how much profit do you really need to make? You know?
Yeah. Of course, in order to help others, you need to help yourself. So it's like the balance between.
Yeah, totally. No, you're right. So, you're right. Yes. Well, more power to you, really. I want you guys to be wildly successful and be, you know, role models for other people, you know, in your industry.
And I tell Raja as well, you know, even though the those feature films, they are still on script. That's the status right now. The script is ready. We are already inspiring people just by sharing the stories, just by telling what this right. movie is about and what is the, mm-hmm. the goal, what is the purpose, why we're doing this film. We are already touching those hearts, right. even before the film is even made. You
yeah.
know?
Well, that's
so what, that feel to keep going.
Yeah, that's a lovely, lovely way really to work. Mm-hmm. You are very blessed and you know, like, keep on keeping on, you know, really. So I guess, you know, like one of the questions I had was, what's one thing you know now that you wish you knew when you were just getting started?
I think it's for a moment, I was a little bit lost trying to fit in, trying to Americanize and be the perfect actress of this industry. So the Sabrina now would tell me, the Sabrina in the beginning, say, just know why you're doing this. Trust yourself, mm-hmm. you know? So I had to go through denial. I had to go through insecurities. And this is an industry that it can damage your self-esteem. It can put you really down. Yeah. If you don't have the certainty of why you're doing this, you're not going to make it. It's going to be really tough for you. It's going to be hard. You know, you can get hurt emotionally. So I think it was a valid and a precious lesson to realize, you know, finally was once I stepped back, and I'm like, okay, Sabrina, why are you doing this? That really gave me the strength. Mm. It's something that I really encourage in any profession, actually, not only in the film industry, but any profession, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Once you have the big picture, once you know that what you're trying to achieve and why you're trying to achieve that, then you have the fuel and the courage to go over those obstacles and steps that it's gonna, you know, present it to you.
Yeah.
And it just make you stronger because right. you're connected to that.
Right. It's like that idea of sort of your core purpose. I think mm-hmm. I think you're blessed in that you kind of figure yours out fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I know for myself, and I think a lot of people, there's a lot of cultural like baggage and artifacts and stuff about kind of like what your purpose should be, and yeah. I think it's pretty easy to get tangled up in that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You know, like you don't need to have only one purpose. You can have multiple purpose. You can have multiple passions, and then sometimes we're thinking it can be bigger. We're gonna help the humanity. We're gonna right. end the you know, no more starving people. And that's beautiful as well. But sometimes, like this whole pandemic is teaching me, because I thought, like, what can I learn from this pandemic where yeah. they take the jobs away? And then you ask yourself, like, who am I? I'm not the producer. I'm not the actress. So who is Sabrina if I'm not doing those roles, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it was so genius that this universe is presenting this opportunity for us to yeah. go within, to do this introspection, this reflection about, like, what is important to you. So for me, a purpose mm-hmm. sometimes is just to pick up the phone and listen to someone who is in need, mm-hmm. who needs moral support, or someone who is going through a breakup, or whatever situation. Like, that can be a purpose as well, to be mm-hmm. there for someone.
Right.
So,
I agree. No, I agree. And I agree that, you know, we can, you know, like when I paint something, you know, like, it's nice to be able to ask, like, you know, what is it? Why this particular image? What is it that I hope to accomplish beyond sort of capturing my vision for it? And oftentimes it's just because it's something I love and I love how it looks and I want to share my love and delight with other people.
Yeah. We do want to share and feel that we are contributing somehow. So it can be from micro actions to bigger actions, you know, as long as, you know, it comes from an honest place and you're respecting yourself.
Yeah. Well, Sabrina, I just want to thank you so much for your time and for sharing everything that you shared with me. This was really delightful.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you. I love this opportunity because that is also another way to inspire and, you know, who knows, listening, they can be motivated. So that is also my goal. So thanks for being a bridge and for creating this channel so I can inspire more people.
And you will. I have absolutely no doubt. So thank you.